are just going to be so quiet, just like little angels. Look at you, you look so quiet, peaceful. Okay, right. Yes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So yes, we are having this evening a Prabhupada night. We will focus on Srila Prabhupada the whole night. Is that okay? Some have Prabhupada evenings. We will have a Prabhupada night. Anyway, let's see how it goes. What we'll do to start off with, I am actually going to read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is one of the last verses that Srila Prabhupada translated and commented upon. Srila Prabhupada, he translated and commented on Srimad Bhagavatam up to the end of the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. In that 13th chapter, there's approximately 69 or 66 verses, I forget exactly. But it's something like that. And we are going to read text 60. And you may already be well aware, I'm not sure. But in this verse, this is the only verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, or purport at least, in which Srila Prabhupada talks about South Africa. How's that? Not Newcastle, I'm afraid, Durban, but it's not too bad. Very close. But it's very interesting. Right at the end, days before Prabhupada left this world, he was thinking about South Africa. And he spoke about South Africa. And he may well have been thinking, he was thinking about Durban. He may well have been thinking about Newcastle and how the devotees, how Krishna consciousness will become established here, and the devotees will spread the message, and more people will get involved, and Krishna Kripa Prabhu and everyone, particularly Krishna Kripa Prabhu and I believe Shanil and various others, will build this wonderful hall, and how they're going to launch off just now into building a magnificent temple. Yeah? I'm sure Prabhupada was thinking about these things when he spoke the purport to this verse. Let's just read the verse and then we'll read the purport. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, which is the story of Lord Brahma stealing the cowherd boys and calves. And we're going to read text 60. Yatra Naisarga Dwarvaira Sasan ri mrigadaya mitrani vajitavasha drunturut tarshakadikam. Translation: Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there in Vrindavan together in transcendental friendship. The book by Srila Prabhupada. And remember, this is just about the last purport of Srila Prabhupada while he was president. This is, you know, it's really historical. There's just a few verses after this with shortish purports. So Srila Prabhupada says, the word van means forest. We are afraid of the forest and do not wish to go there. But in Vrindavan, the forest animals are as good as demigods, for they have no envy. Even in this material world, it's a particular type of ecstasy. Garage poor even in this material world, in the forest, the animals live together, and when they go to drink water, they do not attack anyone. Envy develops because of sense gratification, but in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification, for the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. Even in this material world, the animals in Vrindavan are not envious of the sadhus who live there. The sadhus keep cows and supply milk to the tigers, saying, come here and take a little milk. Thus, envy and malice are unknown in Vrindavan. That is the difference between Vrindavan and the ordinary world. We are horrified to hear the name of Van, the forest. But in Vrindavan, there is no such horror. Everyone there is happy by pleasing Krishna. Krishna kirtana gana nartana param. Whether a Goswami or a tiger or other ferocious animal, everyone's business is the same: to please Krishna. Even the tigers are also devotees. That is the specific qualification of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy, the cat is happy, the dog is happy, the man is happy, everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity, and thus there is no envy. One may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food. But in Vrindavan, we find that the monkeys are allowed to take bhajan, which Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has a right to live. This is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? No, that is material life. The inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. This mentality cannot appear all of a sudden, but it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness. By sadhana, one can come to this platform. In the material world, one may collect funds all over the world in order to distribute food freely, yet those to whom the food is given may not even feel appreciative. The value of Krishna consciousness, however, will gradually be very much appreciated. For instance, in an article about the temple of the Hare Krishna movement in Durban, South Africa, the Durban Post reported, quote, "All the devotees here are very active in the service of Lord Krishna, and the results are obvious to see. Happiness, good health, peace of mind, and the development of all good qualities." Unquote. This is the nature of Vrindavan. Harava Bhaktasya Katomadguna. Without Krishna consciousness, happiness is impossible. One may struggle, but one cannot have happiness. We are therefore trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness, good health, peace of mind, and all good qualities through God consciousness. Isn't that nice? And Srila Prabhupada, practically his last words, definitely some of his very towards the last words. So, very inspiring. Prabhupada understood South Africa has great potential for Krishna consciousness. The people have great potential. And, So, now, if we work together nicely, then we will be able to realize that potential, manifest that potential. And this is what Prabhupada wanted. And you can be sure, rest assured, absolutely, 100%, 108%. Prabhupada wants Krishna consciousness to develop very dynamically here in Newcastle. Yes, please turn off your phones if they're still on. Next telephone that rings, 10 rand fine to go to the construction of the temple. Okay? So don't let your phone ring, Krishna. He's going to give more than 10 rand. So anyway, let us talk about Srila Prabhupada. Let's talk about Srila Prabhupada in different ways. Do you know, there's so many things we can say about Srila Prabhupada. And as a result, there are many books about Srila Prabhupada. And there's just more and more coming every day, or just, regularly at least. Because there's so much that can be said about Prabhupada, and Prabhupada did so many things, outstanding things, which are worthy of being recorded and noted, and from which we can all learn. Let us tell you a few little anecdotes. Some of them you may well have heard, but to repeat these things is very nice. It's not like repeating today's news. I'm extremely happy to say I have no idea what's on the front page of the papers today. I'm pretty much sure it's bad news. And can you imagine reading that the same, whatever's on the front page today, every day, for the next year? Can you imagine? I don't know what it would do to you, but I think it would do you some psychological damage. But we can hear about Krishna, we can hear about Prabhupada, and all these things, even the same things, again and again and again and again. And each time we hear even the same things, each time we get some richer idea, some richer realization. Sometimes it's said that these subject matters, they are something like a Russian cake. This may not mean much to you, but in Russia, they have a special culture of cakes. It's really quite phenomenal. They make these multi-layered cakes. Each layer's like, you know, I don't know, 1 or 2 millimeters thick. And so a cake this thickness, it's got many layers and all different things. Strawberries, and then some cream, and then some other things, some orange, and, you know, all different things. So as you bite into it, you get these successively different tastes, and they all kind of build up on each other. It's quite amazing. So these subject matters of Krishna consciousness are something like that, that each time you sort of bite into it, you get a richer taste, and a different taste even from the same, so even from the same verse and purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's spiritual master gave class every day for between 1.5 and 3 hours a day for 3 months on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1, the first verse. 3 months. Like, you know, say average 2 hours a day, 180 hours on one verse. So, yes, Krishna consciousness is really wonderful. And Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada is just full of Krishna consciousness. And whatever he said or did just automatically reflected Krishna consciousness in many ways. So we can go on and on discussing Srila Prabhupada. So don't worry, even if some of these things you've heard before, just try to give your attention and you'll find some new understanding coming. Something like that. Prabhupada was very compassionate. He was extremely compassionate. One day Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and at that time, this is sort of perhaps mid-70s, something like that, there were big floods in Bangladesh and many refugees were coming across the border from Bangladesh. And Mayapur is just, I'm not exactly sure, it may be 50 kilometers across the border. It's right near the border. And so all these refugees, thousands and tens of thousands, we're in the Mayapur area, and our Food for Life, it wasn't called Food for Life then, but that program was feeding them every day, just get these thousands of people. And the devotees would feed them. And one day, Prabhupada, from his room, upstairs, he was staying, two floors up. He was looking out at all these people, and some of them, they would, you know, they use these leaf plates, and then the people just throw it away, single use. But some of the people would go into where they throw the plates away, and the dogs would be there, and they would fight with the dogs to see if they could get some khichdi, if there was something, you know, just a little on some of the plates. So one devotee came there where Prabhupada was, where Prabhupada was watching, and the devotee said, you know, when I see this, it's just so pathetic and just so unfortunate. He said, you know, when I see this, sometimes I feel like I could cry. And Prabhupada turned to him and said, why just sometimes? Why just sometimes? Elevated, pure devotees of the Lord, their hearts are just overflowing with compassion. Whereas ordinary people, at least, they think of themselves, they're compassionate towards themselves. Help number one. Yeah. Another example, little story, Prabhupada's compassion. This is an interesting little story. There was one girl in Los Angeles. Prabhupada, at that time, was staying in Los Angeles for some time. It was like the world headquarters in those days. And this one girl joined, perhaps late teens, she's a very young girl, and she was a bit of an artist, sort of something, approximately an artist, you know. She liked painting. And there in Los Angeles, all the books were being produced. And there was a whole team of artists painting paintings for the books, which nowadays you see in the books. So this girl got the inspiration, I want to paint for the books. And the devotees thought, well, let's give her a try. Let's give her a try, see what she can do. So she painted a painting of, well, they asked her, see if you can paint a painting of Krishna feeling separation from Radharani. So the girl said, right, okay. And she painted a painting. And they took the painting to show Prabhupada. And she came in also. And Prabhupada looked at this painting, supposedly of Krishna feeling separation from Radharani, which is a state of very exalted transcendental love. And Prabhupada now is looking at this painting. And Prabhupada, he was a person who, you know, oftentimes he didn't show emotions. He was, I think the term is inscrutable. Sometimes you just couldn't tell what he's thinking. So Prabhupada's like that. He's looking at the painting. And he asked the girl, what is this painting? And she said, Srila Prabhupada, this is Krishna feeling separation from Radharani. And Prabhupada looked and shook his head and said, no. This is not what Krishna looks like when he's feeling separation from Radharani. That is a condition of great ecstasy. In this painting, you have made Krishna look like some ordinary young boy who has just lost his girlfriend. Just a material emotion. Oh, and that poor girl. Oh, gosh. This young girl, just few months before, even weeks, joined the temple. She really had this desire to paint, and she hears this. She just sat there and started crying, and just crying and crying. And some devotee came and tried to sort of pacify her. She couldn't be pacified. Then Robert said, one minute, let me see that painting again. And Robert looked at the painting again. Yes, I see. Prabhupada said, I think we will call this painting Krishna Has a Headache. Yes, so he said, sure, Prabhupada. Very compassionate. Even someone does something stupid, and your average person in the street would see it like that and would feel like telling them, ah, you just did something stupid. But Prabhupada could turn it around. There's a famous story, I'm sure many of you have heard, when Prabhupada had his center, first center, 26 Second Avenue, New York. And so he was having programs Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And his seat, you know, you can imagine, if the door is here, front door onto the street, his seat is right at the back. And then there's all these people sitting with their backs to the door facing him. So in came two winos, special breed of alcoholic. These two winos came in and they were sort of flying high. Whoa! They were celebrating, waving bottles of wine around and offering them to the devotees and people who are sitting listening to Srila Prabhupada and just like, hey, come on, join us. And one of them had a roll of toilet paper. The toilet, again, if you just imagine door is there, Prabhupada's down there, the toilet was sort of just almost quite close to Prabhupada. It's on as you come in, because we still have that place, and it's still set up in the same way. Just to the left of Prabhupada, maybe 5 meters, or even 3 or 4 meters, is the toilet. And this guy with the toilet paper, he came stumbling in through the crowd. And some of the young male devotees, you know, they're tough guys, they got up like, okay, let's sort these guys out. Like, out the door. But Prabhupada said, no, just wait. So this man with the toilet paper came right down to where Prabhupada was, went into the toilet, left the toilet paper there, and walked out. And Prabhupada, when they had left, Prabhupada said, just see, even though he was not all right, he did some service. So, you know, of course we can't take it too far if sometimes you get people who are destructive or aggressive, and you know, we can't really entertain them. But kind of innocent people who are foolish and ignorant, and they don't really know what's going on, so they may do some wrong thing or some stupidity. But Prabhupada was such a person, he would somehow try to encourage them and accept some service from them. One time, Prabhupada was arriving at some airport somewhere in America. And so the devotees all went there, and they're having kirtan inside the airport, and they hired some big car, big American, like a limousine, or anyway, some big American car, to pick Srila Prabhupada up. But, you know, it's some big airport, and where to park. If they're going to park in the car park, Prabhupada would have to walk some distance, and they couldn't really just drive around because it'll be like 5 minutes before you come around again, and you don't want proper to just sit there, to stand there by the front door on the street. So the devotee, the driver, decided, I must park right by the entrance of the building. And of course that's a big no-no. There are all these no stopping, no parking, and tow away your vehicle signs and police. But anyway, this devotee, he did it. He just stopped there and he just sat there. And there's traffic, because it's a lane of traffic. And the traffic stopped. And then the traffic was hooting. And a policeman came, because you know in America they have real policemen. Yeah. Hope there's no pun here, but you know, they're all big and they don't take no nonsense. No way in the world, I tell you what. They're not our, you know, sort of sometimes kind of sissy South African police. If you call them and say, there are people here with guns, they say, well, call us when they've left and we'll come. Anyway, it's not quite that bad, but sometimes it is. So anyway, this big policeman walked up and said, hey, you! You know, like, real heavy. Hey, you! Move! Get out of here! The real, like, tough stuff. And the devotee sat there. And the policeman came around the room. Hey, did you hear me? Get out of the car! So the devotee had to get out of the car. And then the devotee appealed to him. Oh, my dear policeman. He offered his obeisances to the policeman. Said, my spiritual master is arriving. And he's an elderly man. And can you please, please, just for a little while, allow me to park here to pick him up? Please. And really pleaded very humbly with the policeman. And the policeman, he got into it. Somehow he accepted it. He said, okay, all right. You just sit in the car. I'll direct the traffic. So now he's directing, because it's in one of the lanes. So he's directing the traffic around. And, hey, you, come around this car. Oh, yeah. It's a scene. And this, you know, they're waiting there like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. But this policeman, he was completely enthusiastic. The devotee showed him a picture of Prabhupada. And he was in the mood of serving Prabhupada, even though he didn't really know what any of it meant. Hardly at all. Just this is the spiritual master, great spiritual person. And then finally, after some good period of time, Prabhupada came out. And the policeman opened the door of the car. And Prabhupada got in. And the policeman saluted Srila Prabhupada. And he told the driver, this has been the best day of my life. So, you know, compassion and touching people's hearts and interacting with people in such ways to bring out their Krishna consciousness. What to speak of influencing people and being merciful to people in direct face-to-face dealings. But Prabhupada's mercy was also there. You know, you could say in indirect situations. Prabhupada was reading on the most exalted level of Krishna consciousness. As devotees develop Krishna consciousness, then Prabhupada, in the purport we read, Prabhupada quoted part of a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which says, basically, the whole verse says, that if one becomes Krishna conscious, then all the good qualities of the demigods just naturally start appearing in the personality of the devotee. Not that the devotee has to go to some school to learn good manners. You know, to learn, for example, to control your anger and keep cool under pressure, and to learn to be compassionate. You know, these things are not really possible to learn. When I was young, I read a book by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Have you heard of that? I don't know about now, but in those days, it was a very famous book. And this, the author, Dale Carnegie, he suggested something you can do. If you have a, what, inferiority complex. You know, you just, when you're with people, you just kind of shrink into yourself and you just become too shy and you just can't deal with people and like that. Because somehow or other you just, I don't know, feel you're not worthy or whatever it may be. So he suggested this practice, a daily routine. He said, what you do, you sit in front of the mirror and you look at your face in the mirror. Look straight in your eyes and you say, you're great. You're fantastic. You're just the best person. And you do this for 20 minutes, twice a day. You can read it and see for yourself. This is his suggestion. But this is really, it's sort of typical of a material approach to a situation, which really doesn't work. It just really doesn't work. A greater change is needed, from like a foundational change in a person's life. And because Srila Prabhupada was such a completely purified devotee of the Lord and lover of Krishna and directly situated in his personal relationship with Krishna, so all these qualities would manifest in him. Here's another one here. Steadfastness. There's a little story. Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk somewhere in America, and they were walking through like an affluent residential area. Big lovely houses and so on. Like that. Then they're walking down the street, and on the street parked a number of motor cars, big American motor cars. And there was one car called, it was a Ford Thunderbird. Have you heard of Ford Thunderbird? I don't know, maybe they still make it, I really don't know, but anyway. There was this car, Ford Thunderbird. As you're about to walk down the street, and he saw this car, and he stopped. And he said to the devotees, "Thunderbird, what is this Thunderbird? Do you have? Is there such a bird?" And the devotees said, "Well, no, we don't really know, but maybe it's from, you know, the old so-called Red Indians, the Native American people. Maybe it was from the sort of their mythology or whatever, some Thunderbird." And Prabhupada said, "Ah, in India, we have a Thunderbird." And then Prabhupada told sort of like a little story, which is very instructive. Prabhupada said, "This Thunderbird, it is called Chatak." Chatak. And in India still, Chatak birds are there. Prabhupada said, "The Chatak does not drink water from the ground, like from a river, a pond, a lake. The Chatak does not drink water from the ground. The Chatak only drinks water as it falls as rain from the cloud. Otherwise, doesn't drink at all." And Prabhupada said, "Therefore, in India, you find that where there are clouds, you always find these Chatak birds. They're following the clouds." And Prabhupada said, "Sometimes the cloud gives rain, they drink. Sometimes the cloud is there, it does not rain. But the Chatak does not go away. The Chatak stays there, following the cloud." Prabhupada said, "Even sometimes the cloud may give thunder and lightning, but still the Chatak does not go away." Prabhupada said, "The Chatak only takes mercy from the cloud. He will not take mercy from anywhere else." And Prabhupada said, "Similarly, the devotee only takes mercy from Krishna. Even though, in one sense, some type of mercy may be available from other sources, maybe the government or the this or the that, may be able to give some mercy, some help. But the devotees, they do not take that mercy. They only take mercy from Krishna." So it's a very nice little story to do with Srila Prabhupada. And it's really showing us. Of course, I know not everyone sitting here is really like a fully practicing devotee, doing everything and chanting all the rounds and following everything. So that's okay. We don't pressurize people like that. It has to come from you, really. But we should try to get this idea, particularly those who are really trying to practice fully, actually. We should try to get this idea. We must stick with Krishna and pray to Krishna for mercy. And sometimes, like Prabhupada said, sometimes the cloud gives thunder and lightning. In other words, it's dangerous, it's, you know, a difficult, challenging situation. You must be careful. So Prabhupada said, even sometimes Krishna gives thunder and lightning. Maybe he gives some test. But still, the devotee should know, I will not go elsewhere for mercy. I won't go to some other deity or, you know, just join a political party or something like that. I'll stick with Krishna. So like that, Srila Prabhupada was steadfast in his devotion. Prabhupada, I'm mentioning a few different qualities here, little stories, Prabhupada exhibiting these qualities. Here's a good one. Listen to this. Prabhupada, in the earlier stages of the movement, Prabhupada would travel with small Radha Krishna deities, traveling all over the world for a few years. After some time, he left them in one temple, I think it's New York. Anyway, somewhere, and they're still being worshipped there. So anyway, there they were. They arrived in a temple. And Prabhupada saw that his servant got out his bag. Got out Prabhupada's bag. Then he got out his own bag. And he opened his own bag and was sort of arranging his things. But the bag with the deities in it was sitting there closed. And Prabhupada said to him that, what are you doing? You are very comfortable, but what about the deities? You should take care of them first. So here in ISKCON, Newcastle, you know, in due course, deities in the sense of for the whole yatra, like in a public temple type situation, deities will come and you'll learn how to worship them and so on like that. And it's very important part of the Krishna consciousness that we put Krishna in front of us. Not that we get ourselves together so we're fine, then we may go look after the deities. Everything for Krishna. So, let's see. One day, there's this one devotee. He's a Prabhupada disciple. He's never been here. But he's a really interesting character. His name is Tejas. And Tejas, he was the temple president in Delhi for all the time that Prabhupada was present while we had a temple there. And he was very good. And he was very together. So one day, Prabhupada asked him, can you make upma? You know what is upma? You know what is upma? Well, semolina, it's sort of like, not exactly, but something like khichdi, but you use semolina. Yeah? Savory semolina with vegetables. Upma. It's, I think, more of a South Indian preparation. But anyway, Prabhupada asked him, do you know how to make upma? I'd like to have upma for lunch. And this devotee said, well, no, but I'll find out. So he went to one of the local restaurants and he found out from the, like, the super duper cook. You know, you think you can make beans curry just like nobody else. You wait till you see some of these people. You just wait. And he learned how to make this super exotic upma. Very rich. With lots of ghee. Wow. Powerful stuff. And he fed it to Prabhupada for lunch. And Prabhupada was saying, oh, this is nice. And then he had more. well, this is nice. Then he had thirds, and then he had fourths, and he actually finished all the order. Next morning, Prabhupada was on his morning walk, because he would go on his morning walk pretty much every day. And Prabhupada said to the, he was walk, normally he would walk fast. Even though he was elderly, he would walk really fast. The devotees noticed he was walking slowly and kind of, you know, he just wasn't kind of himself. And they asked, are you okay? And Prabhupada said, that devotee who cooked lunch, he tried to poison me. And Tejas was in the morning walk. Everyone knew it was him. And all the devotees looked at him like, wow, what is this? And Prabhupada said, yes, that Uttara was so nice, I ate too much, and now I feel a little sick. Well, one time, let me say a couple of things, my own experiences with Srila Prabhupada, a couple. One time, we were on a morning walk. Prabhupada, he knew sort of like something about everything. You could ask him about, you know, even some obscure subject, and he would know something about it, and often more than you. And even though, like, for example, it's quite interesting, even though English was not his first language, it was probably his third language, like, Bengali was his first language, but he also knew Hindi very well. So English was maybe his third language. But still, you know, his English was quite good. But sometimes you could tell, you know, it's not his mother tongue, and sometimes he'd ask, you know, what would be a good word to use, that sort of thing. But the devotees found that oftentimes he would choose a word to put in some place in the book, discussing something, he'd choose a word. And the devotees who would edit the book, check for, you know, that it was typed out properly, check the grammar, etc., they would think that, you know, this is not the right word. Then they look it up in the dictionary and find, actually, it is the right word. Prabhupada was really, it was quite uncanny, actually. So one day, we were on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in England. At Bhaktivedanta Manor. And we went walking out across Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's more or less in the countryside, just outside the edge of London. And so we were walking through the countryside, and then we walked back across the fields. And it had been raining the night before, and so there are pools of water like that here and there as we're walking back through this field. And on one side there was a larger puddle of water, maybe half the size of this room. And we're approaching that puddle of water, and there was a frog there. And as we approached, the frog jumped into the water. He had been sitting there on the land for however long, and now he's in the water. And we saw, as we're approaching, from the water, from where he was, some bubbles, air bubbles were coming. In other words, he was breathing. And Prabhupada walked up to this pool, and he had this characteristic way of stopping. when he was going to, you know, speak to the devotees who were accompanying him, that he'd stop and sort of almost bang his cane down, his walking stick, and this was the sound, right, stop, listen. So there we are. And Prabhupada pointed to where the bubbles were from the frog. And Prabhupada said, you see, that frog, he was on the land and he was breathing. Now he is under the water and he is breathing. Prabhupada said, it is mystic power. It is mystical power. And this one devotee, he was a bit of a sort of, what would you say, a sort of zoologist, or, you know, knows something about animals, or thought he did. And he said, well, actually, Srila Prabhupada, it's not mystical power. It's, you know, and he went into a slightly sort of fuzzy description of how the frog has two kind of breathing systems, something, 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 and got a bit tangled up in that. And in the middle of it, Prabhupada just interrupted him and said, no, it is mystical power. And that was the end of the discussion. Yes. I remember when I was there in Srila Prabhupada's room, and, well, let me say, I saw Prabhupada for the first time in 1972, April, in New Zealand. I was at the university as a student, and Prabhupada came to the university. Next time I saw him was in about a year later, basically. It was maybe May, I think, 73. In London now, I'd already joined the temple. I'd already gone from New Zealand to England, joined the temple in London, and I was a young devotee that I joined in January. This is now May, or thereabouts. And Prabhupada was coming. And we had this one devotee. His name was Mahadev. He was a very creative, he was like a very brilliant person. A young, very young man. He's probably not more than 21 years old at the time. But very brilliant, very energetic, very dynamic, and he would rarely tend to overdo things. So Prabhupada was arriving. He was in charge of having Prabhupada picked up. So you know what he did? He hired a helicopter to take Prabhupada from Heathrow Airport to Bhaktivedanta Manor. Very good. But, that was not enough. He thought, we've got to have our bases covered here. This is Prabhupada. We've got to make sure, you know, we've got to have plan B. And maybe plan C also. And maybe plan D. Just in case, you know, there's a problem with the helicopter or the weather or who knows what. So he hired from three separate companies, three limousines. And I mean the real thing, you know, these gigantic stretch limousines, three of them. And these three guys rolled up, and they figured it out, there was only one person to pick up. And there's this whole panic going on. But Mahadev, he was transcendental. They asked someone, who's in charge here? And this was another transcendental devotee. And he said, Krishna! That was the end of that. So anyway, Robert's in command. They got him in the helicopter and the helicopter landed. Have any of you been to Bhaktivedanta Manor? Any ISKCON Ladysmith devotees? Okay. They have a big lawn. It's a big place. And there's a big lawn in the front. And part of the lawn, it was a bowling green, so it's like totally flat. The helicopter landed there. And there were like 400 or 500 devotees. Means temple resident devotees who had come from all over Europe, and they all lined up from the helicopter into the building, Bhaktivedanta Manor, to receive Prabhupada. And they made two lines, and Prabhupada walked between the two lines into the manor, and I was one of the new boys. So I was right at the end of the line, inside the manor. And Prabhupada came in. And as Prabhupada, you know, he's walking slowly through between these two lines, as he would approach, the devotees would offer their obeisances. So there's almost like a domino effect of obeisances. And then Prabhupada came and there we were, we offered our obeisances. And you know what happened? Prabhupada stopped in front of us. And we were offering our obeisances. We didn't know what to do. So there's this one other devotee, very nice devotee, next to me. Prabhupada's more or less in front of him. And I'm a little ahead of Prabhupada. And we're down, you know. And what to do? Prabhupada's still standing there. And we decided, you know, better to be conservative, so we stayed down. But we didn't really know what to do. This was going on for a minute. We're still down. So, you know, I looked at him, we're down. I looked at him, and he looked at me. And, you know, so, you know, and he went, so, okay, you stay down. And then he did something very clever. There he is, down. Prabhupada's like, I don't know, a meter in front of him. He stuck his hand out very slowly. 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 And he had to stretch and he touched Prabhupada's foot. Got some of those special things. Then he looked at me, and he went, and, you know, without actually saying it, he mouthed, go on. So I thought, okay, gotta try. But Prabhupada was a little further away, because I was a little ahead, so I stretched my hand out slowly, And there's this big sannyasi, Brahmananda. He was really big. And he was there with Prabhupada, with his big danda, sannyas, true danda. And he saw, here comes my hand. And then slowly, slowly. He took his danda and just went, bang! And so I withdrew it to the floor. But the other devotee, you know, he's like, come on. So again, I stuck my hand out, and out, and out, and out, and I had to stretch further, because Prabhupada was really stretched. and I touched Providence Foot, and I got some special mercy, and that's maybe why I'm still here. So yeah, that was very interesting. Interesting experience. I'm going to close by, should we close or should we go on to a Mongol outing? I'll go on a little further. Is that okay? Do you object?
No.
No? Rama once, I was speaking to this one devotee, his name is Baba Nanda. He was very prominent in those days, and he was very close to Prabhupada, but after Prabhupada left, he fell down, he actually got into really just horrific mess. But then he came back, and he just sort of resurrected himself back from the dead. And now he's a very active devotee. In his way, he's an extremely nice devotee, and I know him pretty well. So one day he was with Prabhupada in Mayapur, and Prabhupada told him, Prabhupada was telling Baba Nanda, you know, Mayapur, it's so wonderful. It's just so wonderful. We must develop it in this way and that way, so people come and, you know, they get a real feeling that this is the place of Lord Chaitanya. And then he started saying to Baba Nanda, but actually, the material world, it's too terrible. This material world, it's shocking, it's ghastly. And Prabhupada was telling him like that. It is not fit for human habitation, real human beings. It's not suitable. So, Prabhupada said, actually, I never wanted to come to this material world. But he said, you know, I told Krishna, I don't want to come. But Prabhupada said, but Krishna told me, you must come. You must give the people your books. So he was telling Baba Nanda about that. Krishna told me, you must come, you must give the people your books. They need your books. And Prabhupada said, therefore I came. Otherwise, this place is not worth coming to. You know, in other words, Srila Prabhupada came from the spiritual world. He's an associate of Krishna. And as such, you know, it's not just that he's like a particularly good devotee or, you know, particularly dynamic or particularly knowledgeable, just in that sense, but just by definition, by nature, he's in a very special category. Let me close by telling you a joke. How's that? Which was told by Srila Prabhupada. Let me warn you, it is slightly X-rated, so watch out, okay? Brahma told the story of a man, of a devotee, who, one night, with the other devotees, he had a big feast. And he just really, really, really got into it. And he just ate so much. He just ate more than too much. And the last thing he had was a golden brown samosa. just glowing, golden, brown, rich samosa. And it was the last thing somehow he had. Then he went home. And just, that was it. He ate so much, all he could do was lie down to sleep. Prabhupada told this story. Next morning he got up, and first thing he just stood up and, wow, got to run to the toilet. Woo! There we come. And immediately just passed the door. Just made it in time. And he's looking at the stall and he's speaking it to himself. And he said, look at you, stall. Look at you. You are so horrible. You're smelly and poor. And the stall spoke to him and said, listen, don't say things like that. Don't say things like that. Last night, I was that samosa. But after just one night's association with you, see what happened to me. So, oh, I told the story, so it's okay. don't mind too much. Yes. So Prabhupada was also very humorous. Prabhupada, you know, he's a person like us. He has all the same emotions and things, but in different ways. Extremely transcendental ways. Very amazing transcendental ways. Yeah. So, what do you think? Is that okay?
Yes.
That's all right? That's enough? Tell you one more story, right? This is an experience I had with Srila Prabhupada. We were in the room with Srila Prabhupada in his at Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's like, it's a room about this size, actually, his darshan room. It's the lounge upstairs in the main suite. In Bhaktivedanta Manor. So there we were, there's like maybe 15 of us sitting with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, one devotee asked Prabhupada talked about a few things. Let me tell you another one and I'll come to this one. One devotee asked Prabhupada, what if, you see, there is something, a category of question called the what if question. And they're usually rather fantastic. You know, what if you met the man in the moon? Some sort of, you know, way out type of question. So the devotee asked Prabhupada, what if you're living on a desert island? And it's just you and a dog. And you eat all the grass. And then you eat all the seaweed that you could reach. And there was nothing else to eat. Would it be all right to eat the animal in such a situation? This is like a classic what if question. You know, how likely is it you'll end up in that situation? You know? So Prabhupada looked at him, and you know what Prabhupada said? A devotee would rather die. Yeah. A devotee would rather die than eat meat. Or in other words, you know, Because eat meat, what it means, doesn't just mean eat meat, it means participate in the process of killing innocent animals, which we just absolutely have no right whatsoever to do. So that was one, that was a very sobering thing. Then, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, and we will finish after this. Prabhupada, what should we say when we distribute books? Prabhupada laughed. Prabhupada was sitting down cross-legged behind here at a low desk. Prabhupada stood up and he said, I will show you how to distribute books. He picked up a book and he walked over to one of the devotees and he just gave him the book. And the devotee took the book. And Prabhupada said to this, now what you must say is, my dear sir, I can see you are extremely intelligent. In fact, you are the most intelligent person I have met all day. And sir, I have just one thing to say to you. Sir, just give up all your nonsense and read this book. And Prabhupada said, this is how you treat. Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.